Welcome into the Sports Objective Podcast, the unofficial podcast of the Pirates. Ladies and gentlemen, we will have Kyle from LaGrange in just a little bit. We have Bubba Rosenbaum joining us in just a second. With us right now, we actually, a guy that said we were just talking baseball a little bit off a pre-show, a guy that knows about batting lineups and changing the lineup in the order, and we're doing that right now as Terry Gallagher was going to be with us first. He'll be with us a little bit later, the great wide receiver standout from the Pat Dye era from the late 70s. But with us right now, a great guy that we think a lot of, and that's Mike Mullis, a five-star virtual. How are you, Mully?
Man, everything's great.
Great. Tonight, as always, and Bubba, talk your praise off the air a lot, and so we wanted to have you back on tonight as we're excited about football, basketball, baseball. A lot of great things happen in East Carolina, and one of the things that we want to give you a shout out again is all the stuff you're doing at Five Star Virtual.
Yeah, you know what? It's been an interesting time. At one point, what we were doing was kind of a good idea. Then all of a sudden, it kind of became a necessity. So, we're thrilled to be partnered with East Carolina, and you know, and I mean other schools, and but we're just happy to play our part.
Can you tell fans, I know a little bit about it, how did this all start for people that are just joining us and they may not know about Five Star Virtual, but it's been some really cool technology that it actually, I think the perfect storm of that you guys had the technology and then all of a sudden with COVID-19, not that there's great things, but a good thing happened under COVID is it really put you guys, I hate to use the, no pun intended, on the map.
You know what, Dave, it really wasn't. We started down this path pre-COVID-19, and if Cliff Godwin didn't have the vision he has, we would have been kind of dead in water. But, it was a good idea that turned into almost a necessity for college programs recruiting athletes. And we're fighting every day, man. It's such an educational process for people to understand, like, you know, yeah, it costs money. But, for example, ECU football in the last 90 days had almost 4,000 visits to their facilities.
Wow.
But, yeah, and there's no other way that ECU athletics, football specifically, would have had 4,000 people come look at their facilities. So, We're having to teach, we're having to train, we're having to, to explain what the upside is in a time where everybody's looking to not spend money. We're asking right. them to spend money, but the return on investment is exponential.
Exactly, the ROI. And that's the thing is that right now with the recruiting wars going on, it's a totally different game now with, I know with Cliff, and I mean, I was joking with Cliff is getting guys so early. You know, the program is in great shape when you got guys that are. I was joking with his son, Riley Rosenbaum, the fact that he's getting ready to turn 9 years old and, you know, the class of like 29 or something like that. I know he really can't offer a scholarship, but these guys are committing way early. But I think it's a testament, not only the program, but also when they can see. They can not only visualize in their head about the program and maybe see some video of it or maybe the actual games, but now you have the five-star virtual. They can see everything right there at their computer, I guess even tablet, right?
Oh, yeah. No, it's mobile. It's a great shareable format regardless of what the scan is. So if I send it to you, via text or Twitter or what it's super easy. I mean, it's crazy easy. And Cliff and honestly, Cliff has been huge, but Jeff Palumbo and Coach Rock in basketball, they are crazy about it. Like almost to the point of, I don't know how we did things before now. So it's been a big deal. It's been impactful for East Carolina. It's been impactful for other schools, and it's kind of a big deal. I mean, it's a cool thing.
like Ron Burgundy. I'm kind of a big deal. Yeah, certainly with that, with Five Star Virtual, and you see those facilities, and then it makes you, I'll be honest with you, Mully, when I saw how great things look with baseball, and then I know with basketball and football, it makes me, with Coach Houston today with his press conference, going to give a shout out again to all the Pirate fans and Pirate Nation who, like me and you, I'm sure that we want an indoor practice facility. And when you see the facilities we have, it just makes you want to have, I hate to say it, but maybe I'm greedy. We want to have more facilities where Five Star Virtual can give us the inside scoop and the inside look at the indoor, the Mike Mullis indoor practice facility or the Five Star Virtual practice facility or whatever. But I'm hopeful. I'm praying really hard. I'm sincere when I say it that we need one really bad. And today was a perfect example. Yeah, you can practice in the rain, but how great would it have been to be able to practice in a climate co controlled environment where you can really get a good workout and you can really get your team ready for next Saturday against the Knights.
Yeah, you know what? And I hear you. I would say that Coach Houston's statement would be that we may have to play in the rain. So if we have to, you know,
Yeah.
it's you kind of have to temper all that. But no, look, the indoor facility, Dave, it's all arms race. It's
Yeah.
what do you have? What can you offer? What's the upside? What does it do for, you know, the student athlete? And it's a fairly tough game to play when you're in East Carolina, which is, you know, we don't have the money that Alabama or
Oh,
Clemson
yeah.
has. So
Right.
we've got to figure out a way to maximize every dollar to bring more eyes on the facilities. And so most of what we do with Five Star is not just the athletic facilities, it's the off-campus housing, it's the total experience. To send a kid in California, or let's look at the grad transfer, the kid from Arkansas, he was able to see a ton of stuff
Right.
without ever having had to come to Greenville.
And that's amazing when you think about it's a huge commitment that you're making. And if you're doing it before obviously Five Star Virtual, before that, before you get the inside look on all the graphics and everything, you're pretty much making this a lifetime decision, a big time decision, and you're doing it, I hate to use the term blind, but you're not able to really see or get a feel. And now you guys, I mean, it all, I was like, wow, when I saw the baseball stuff first, I was just like, this is really, I know, cool stuff. I mean, I don't know other word to say it, but I was just like, wow, this is, Mike is, I said, Mully's onto something here. And then we had you on several months ago. And then during COVID, the beginning, I think, of COVID. And I think that it's nice to know that we have like trailblazing and that we're not going after, you know, we're not like being reactive and going after other schools. Oh, they have it, so we have to have it. It was kind of nice to, I know you're an alum and obviously a supporter of the program. It was nice to see that we had Five Star Virtual start really at, am I wrong, at East Carolina?
No, the first sport ever to go on that platform was baseball at East Carolina. I mean, and when I say first program across the country.
Wow.
I promise you, Dave, I did the research. I talked to the creators of the platform, and nobody had ever done that. And Cliff Godwin, I'm serious. I cannot beat his drum loud enough.
Oh,
He
yeah.
had the vision. He got it. He literally, this was a 1 o'clock, 1:10 in the morning. I mean, literally, I could show you the text. I sent him a message. He calls me at 1:20 in the morning on a Saturday and goes, "Bully, this is awesome." And I said, "Man, when should we do this?" He said, "December." It was December 17th at 9 a.m. And that was
Wow.
kind of how it came to pass. And it was all predicated off of Cliff having the vision to see what the possibilities could be.
Yeah, and speaking of Cliff, he comes on on purpose. I always ask him about what do you want for the program, because I feel like, me personally, here's a guy who's delivered that program, which is already a good program, but he's taken it to where, I hate to use the term again, national power, but it is. It's a top 25 program at the very least. Maybe even some years you potentially be right there at the bubble, the top 10. And look at the talent we have. I mean, you know that, Mully, with being a baseball guy, the talent just in Pitt County alone is incredible, all the way down to Little League. I mean, they were in the Little League World Series a couple years ago. So to have a guy like Cliff Godwin who gets it, to have a guy like him that, I mean, he's from locally Greene County with Snow Hill, and you have, I mean, it's just almost like a Hollywood movie to have a guy like that. Then to have this stuff, and then for me personally, I'm like, let's get the guy whatever he wants, because he's worth every penny that he's given. Because look at all he's done for East Carolina and the handful of seasons he's already been here.
Well, first off, you would piss Cliff off if you said he was a top 25 program. He's not about being top 25.
I know that.
He is about getting to Omaha, giving this program a chance to win in Omaha. Cliff is the ultimate type A. Like, he is driven. He's going to do whatever he's got to do. He's going to work his ass off to get to where he wants to be. And he, you know, in all of college athletics, the proof is in the results. And so I think that every time I see him fire that pirate cannon, if you follow him on Twitter or whatever, and another pirate has committed, I take a little bit of pride in that, because these kids are committing and they are highly ranked, highly touted kids. They're committing with possibly not ever having been on this campus.
Welcome in, Kyle Barber. What's up, dude? We're talking about five-star virtual, Kyle, and obviously Cliff Godwin was the one that really saw what Mully was trying to do. And we were just talking about how a big-time program that we have in Greenville, and it's really cool, the fact of all the times we hear, well, we really need to do this, and we need a training table, we need an indoor practice facility. Here's something that was revolutionary, and it started in our own backyard in Greenville, and a loam and a supporter like Mully.
Yeah, no, it's been huge for the baseball program, particularly right now. What great timing, Mully. you couldn't have had better timing with this, with COVID coming and, you know,
taking over. No, we kind of lucked. Kyle, we lucked into it. And I will tell you that baseball is what it is. Let's face it. If there's a chance to win a national title with East Carolina, it's probably going to be with baseball.
Yeah, no doubt.
But where I think we found the most success is the Farrakhan kid in basketball. And then the second recruit behind him that was a four-star guy. I think if you look at the grad transfers that are coming in through into football, I'm not French, but I mean, we feel like we have impacted football with all the Power Five transfers that have come into East Carolina. I don't think it's an accident.
No, I mean, when we have that tool at our disposal, and maybe some other places don't or don't have anything similar right now, when kids can't visit campus, and, you know, the dead period is now going through the end of December, which is a little ridiculous, but it is what it is. And, you know, hopefully some of these high school kids, you know, we got a lot of out-of-state commits this year on the recruiting trail. And, you know, I'm assuming they've utilized the virtual tours of our facilities and et cetera, because they certainly couldn't visit.
I will tell you this, have Donnie Kirkpatrick on and talk about the luck they've had or success they've had with football recruits. And he will tell you, as he did like on Pirate Radio, about the value of our tool. And you and Coach Rock in basketball has been awesome. Coach Dooley has been awesome. And they literally will say, it is stupid what we've done. And Coach Rock made the comment, I don't know how we recruited before this.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I mean, again, the proof's in the pudding. I mean, I'm a coach. And you can say what you want to say. The results are the results. And it's been, man, it's been awesome. And it's as a homeboy, it's a little unfortunate that now we have all these other programs that are getting on board.
That's all I was about to ask you.
As a business owner, you know, it's crazy.
Have you put any have you put any clauses on yourself? Like you won't work with NC State or anything?
No. Hey, look, Kyle, look, I love you. And if you're willing to write a check big enough, we won't work with anybody else other than East Carolina. But at the end of the day, we're still a business and we're out there trying to do our job.
I got it.
I'm just happy that we, being East Carolina and Greenville, were the first. And the fact that you're a local guy and it wasn't like
first
some
consultant.
Yep. It's not like some consultant coming into Greenville pitching some, you know, crazy idea. This was actually a local guy, and that makes it even more special. So if the other people want to follow your lead and East Carolina's lead, then so be it. I mean.
Listen. People, it doesn't matter, whatever. Like, Burger King figured out that we can make a hamburger to compete with McDonald's. That's going to happen. But McDonald's was first to market. And it is what it is. I don't worry about that. It doesn't concern me. I know that the angle that I have and that we have at Five Star is that I'm a sports guy. Like, I coach. I've been there. I've done it. I understand the recruiting grind, and I can always fall back on a guy like Cliff Godwin and say, you know what? This is where we started. This is where we're at. And this is kind of where we're going. So, I'm thrilled. I'm just happy to be just a small part. And, you know, it's so cool. It really is. It's crazy cool.
And the fact that we're talking to Kyle about the indoor practice facility, but I was telling him when I saw back in the spring, I guess it was back in the spring when I first saw the stuff from you guys with Five Star Virtual, Mully. I was telling Mully that earlier, Kyle, before you joined us, that it makes you want more facilities. You see all these cool things they're doing with the facilities we have. I'm like, damn, let's get a indoor practice facility. Let's get, you know, the new football offices is something I want adjacent to the indoor practice facility. I think that would be really cool. Down the line, I would love to see, to be honest, I'll be blunt right now. I've never really liked the Ward Sports Medicine building, no offense to anyone, but I want to see a new sports building down the, not right now. We can't right now, but things like that, it just starts to really open up my eyes of possibilities.
Sure, yeah. When we start winning again, then I think you'll see those kinds of things start happening.
Dave, if you want to stroke a check, that way, I mean, I can see your name on the front of the sports med building or whatever. You know, I can see that. I mean, that would be okay. Great.
I think
East Carolina is somewhat different in certain circumstances, but it's not far off from what the college sports landscape is right now. And then we can go down the row of issues, bad business choices, whatever, but there's no need. The reality is, All these schools, it doesn't matter if it's Alabama, it does not matter. They're all facing a deficit of where they thought they would be.
Of course.
And the reality is, what Five Star brings to the table is again, I don't know if I said this, but there were almost 4,000 visitors of the ECU football facilities in the last 90 days.
Wow.
There's no way no way that you could do that in any other format.
Especially right now with COVID, there's no way you can get a whole bunch of people
correct
like for group visits and all that kind of stuff correct that you would normally have. You can't do that right now.
And so that, it's one of those things that if to get a kid to say, I'm excited about going to East Carolina, they're going to need buy-in. So what they're doing is showing that I can show you the stats. They're showing their grandparents, their siblings, their friends, their girlfriend, whatever. They are looking at these facilities over and over again, and it's building an incredible undercurrent of excitement.
Have you heard from Coach?
It's cool.
Yeah, I was just going to say, personally, have you heard anything from Coach Houston about it? Being, I know you talk about football. That's really impressive with those numbers. Has he talked to you, or have you heard about anything said about five-star virtual?
I'm trying to be nice. No, I've okay not heard from Coach Coach Richmond. I've not heard from Coach Houston at all. Not the first comment. And I will tell you, I would have at least I've never met him. I've never, as an alum, I've never met him, never had a conversation with him. And that's a little bothersome to me, to be honest with you. But Coach Dooley and Coach Gowan are obviously fired up, and I've got to live in that world to go, hey, look, man, they love it, and I know what we're doing for football. I mean, when Donnie Kirkpatrick goes on Pirate Radio and says, hey, these local guys, they're doing this, this, and this, and it helped us get these players, that's – you know, I got to enjoy that.
No question about it.
You had her. So you have heard from Donnie, just not Houston.
And Donnie's not called me. I have not. The only person from the football staff that I've spoken with was JP Gunner. And honestly, since we launched, I've not heard from anybody on staff. And I'll tell you, the only thing I have heard was from J.J. McGlam, and it was – and I love J.J. And I mean, I think he's a great guy. But it's been a little bit about negotiating rate, and it's a different day at East Carolina, boys. It's just a different day.
Yeah. Of course. Yeah, so, it is. I mean, you know – I think that might have had two meanings to that, Mully, if yeah I'm reading that right.
Yeah, yeah. I'm a homeboy. I'm right here, and I want nothing but the best. But at the same time, it's like, you know, you have to have a little vision to understand that, yes, you're spending X number of dollars, but if in the business world, again, it's ROI. What am I spending, and what is my return? And that's y'all know we're in uncharted waters, and it's you're asking people to make decisions that they've never had to make before.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And the baseball program.
Okay, look, it'll all work out how it's meant to work out. And, you know, I think that if I'm the athletic, if I'm Gilbert, I'm wanting to do the Talbot Tower and send that to recruits. I'm wanting to do all these things that are over and above just any athletic facility. I could tell you at Chapel Hill, it was not just the facilities. It was the entire recruiting trip. It was 8 or 9 scans of different places that was the total package.
Yeah, and that was one question I had, Mully, as far as outside of whatever sport we're talking about, fill in the blank, let's say it's football, so you have a football recruit. Do you do, in addition to obviously the facilities there for the sports. Do you also do any academic stuff or potential classrooms or campus stuff, or is it just strictly been all I've seen is just the, I guess, some of the housing and the like basketball, football and baseball stuff?
No, look, man, so the way I try to get these coaches to understand is if you're bringing a kid in from California, like that's the most expensive trip you can pay for. Where would you take him or her? Hmm. And that's what needs to be included in your facility scan. So you've seen basketball. Basketball has.
Are you allowed to scan COVID?
Yeah, but if you look at the student center, which is stupid impressive, that should be part of it. All these things should be included in their recruiting package. And, you know, and sometimes, again, at Carolina, they got it. At Carolina, they got it at the highest level. ECU is still a little behind, like trying to figure out where should we go next. But it's, I mean, it has to be, if you were going to show a recruit 8 or 9 facilities, that's what it should be on the scans.
No question about it. You know, Kyle, when as far as Dowdy Ficklin, I mean, you look at it's, I think that maybe I'm biased, but I think we have one of the best stadiums in the country. And then when you look at North Carolina, find me a better on Saturday, on a normal Saturday, find me a better game day atmosphere that we than what we have in Greenville. And
almost anywhere in the country this year.
Yeah. Yeah. It's about the same, right? And then we have conferences that are deciding that they want to join the party and they want to.
Well, I mean, and that's something that can't get through on the virtual tour, not without doing it on a game day with fans in the stands. You know, that would be a good idea to do a, when we get fans back into stands, to do a virtual scan of what game day is like in Greenville with all the fans there. You know, that can't happen. But that's something that I would think would sell recruits is that whole atmosphere.
Well, and all that stuff could be done, and it could be done with video. We don't necessarily have to have fans in the stands. I mean, there's things that can be done. Right. But I mean, you know,
the place. So we can put 51,000 in there?
Do what? Say again, Dave?
I was joking. I said, so we could actually have, for a change, 51,000 in there?
Yeah, and look, let's face the reality of where East Carolina football is right now. If they open the stadium tomorrow or for the game at UCF, if this was last year, there wouldn't be 20,000 people there anyway. The thing that's being eliminated is the tailgating. I mean, at the end of the day, that is the difference. Now, winning will heal all that. But it's, you know, you have to think about where you want to be. You know, it's kind of like, you know, fake it till you make it.
And that's where
right now we're struggling. I mean, you know, it is what it is. We're struggling to be what we think we could be one day again. And got look, boys, both of y'all know sports. When we lost the academic exemptions, when we lost the ability to bring in non-qualifiers, that changed East Carolina football forever.
Well, yeah. One of the biggest things I think we need to change is from a leadership standpoint, and this is not a knock on anybody, make that clear, but I think we need to do something to create some damn excitement. You know, our leadership in the administration are good guys, but I don't see what they're doing. And right now it's hard to create excitement when you can't get people to the ball games. But there is not that sense of Get out there, get in front of it. Let's get this fan base fired up. Let's give them something to be excited about. You know, one thing I talked about, you know, with scheduling and, you know, not adding games. And I looked at somebody like BYU looking for games, and I know we already have BYU on the schedule, but I was like, well, there's an opportunity. Let's go play at BYU this year and get another home game with them a few years from now. I mean, that's all stuff you can do to create excitement. And that's one thing I'm not seeing our administration do is, and again, I'm not being critical of them. I'm just stating how I feel. I don't see them creating a lot of excitement with our fan base.
Well, but I hear you. But the reality is, if we're counting on BYU to create excitement, we're dead in the water.
Well, it sure is a lot more exciting to play BYU than it is Norfolk State.
No, I get that. But we also have to temper the fact that we need those Alabama plays, whoever they play, first two or three games of the year. If we're going to be that kind of program, that's what's got to happen. We got to have somebody we have a better than good chance to beat. BYU will not be that program.
Well, the biggest thing for us this year.
I agree with you. But I agree with scheduling some FCS opponents 100%. But at the same time, you got to create some excitement with your non-conference schedule. And your schedule helps sell tickets. Bottom line, you're right. Winning games sells more tickets than anything.
Yep.
But
and you can't roll into playing West Virginia, Virginia Tech, and BYU. It worked back in the days when we
had Scotty beat BYU. What are you talking about? Scotty beat them.
Say what, buddy?
Scotty beat BYU. What are you talking about?
Well, I mean,
they were very bad that year.
I'd play those Mormon peckernecks anytime they want to play. Bring it on.
Wow.
Yeah.
Bring it on. How about you, Terry?
You didn't see him play Navy then, did you?
I saw him play Navy. You ain't scared, Terry. I know you, Gallagher. You'll line up, play him now.
Yeah, but I'm going to tell you what. It's just a strange time.
Come on, Terry. Come on, Terry. Come on, Bunk.
I look at obviously, I got friends in coaching at all levels. And what's happening is you would not believe the pressure that has been placed on football coaches. Not only have they had what they've always been, but now they're dealing with being a health official and being able to follow guidelines and so forth. And because what you don't understand is the liability of all this. Who's going to be held liable when something happens?
The university. I don't think that's
true. And here's another problem. What about all these tests? Who pays for all this testing and all of the getting the tests read properly? Who pays for all those things? See, you know, there's a lot that's going on. You got to sanitize. You can't talk 5 minutes without having to sanitize something.
I agree with you.
The number of people that can meet together, there's so much, and the coaches are the ones that are having to deal with it. And so I don't know if you heard the Navy coach, but I like what he said, is regardless, he took responsibility for how they played that game. He said he knew they weren't ready to play.
They didn't hear it.
Well, he followed what he felt and his coaching staff and his academy felt were the guidelines to how they should practice. And it didn't involve contact. And so you get your first game, and that's your first contact?
Yeah.
There's no way.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I mean.
The schedule was given to them. So they had to deal with it.
Yeah. Back to BYU, Terry. That's why I'm not sure they're that good.
BYU may be as talented now as they've ever been.
I don't think BYU's that great. I think not hitting at all. I mean, you can't do that. You can't do that and then go play a football game.
That's happening. There's not that much contact going on, not for an extended period of time. So the fatigue factor is going to be so great in all of these games, especially early.
That's one thing I wonder about.
Three games.
That's one thing I wonder about us. We have scrimmage, three full scrimmages and one situational scrimmage. So I wonder how many other schools have done that.
Now, I haven't, you know, again, I can't say, but what I'm seeing, because now Georgia has already started high school games, and I just happened to be down there this past weekend and got to go see two of the top programs in the state play, and you'll be amazed what's coming up.
Okay,
hey, Molly. I've watched plenty of college football. I've seen it. You've seen a lot of teams that look very poorly conditioned. You know, we're talking about a Georgia school right now. Georgia Southern would, you know, they had 30 players out due to COVID, and managed to somehow beat Campbell. A lot of people were amazed at how well Campbell played in that game. I wasn't. When you got 30 players out, I think Georgia Southern. I think it was amazing they won by 1 point with 30 players out. That was insane. Can you imagine playing without 30 guys on your roster?
Well, and then it's tough.
I don't care if it's Campbell or a high school team. When you're missing 30 guys off your roster, that's tough.
Yeah. Speaking of which, Captain Buck, obviously having you on tonight about getting ready for the Pirates next
Will
week.
Y'all, man?
Well, y'all, yeah, I was trying to talk to him. I was trying to bring him back in, and then y'all kept going back and bantering back and forth. But anyway, I guess he's gone. I don't know. But anyway, I wanted to talk to Captain Bunk about next Saturday with the Pirates. Are you feeling confident? Can we pull off an upset? What do you think?
I just want to see us get through a game with no injuries. Not get anybody hurt.
Have you watched much college ball so far this year, Bo, or Terry?
Well, there's not been much to watch.
We had a full game of games, a full day of games Saturday.
You know what the total number were actually compared to what they normally are?
Well, it was 22 games on TV.
Yeah, but, you know, it's hard to – you can't and the flip-flopping of the conferences, the Big Ten now saying, well, we're going to play. You know, it's still a made-for-TV thing at the end. And so, once again, you're going to have teams playing. I just can't even see what's going to happen. I'm just really not very optimistic about
– Have you guys heard anything –
What's that?
You don't think they should have played? Is what you're saying?
I'm telling you, the way things have gone, there is no leadership from the top down with this thing.
In the NCAA, you're referring to
the whole world. And I'm not going to go there with that one, but. When nobody will take response, when everybody is passing the buck, eventually it stops. And in this case, it's stopping on the teachers. It's stopping on the coaches. It's stopping on the healthcare people. It's actually stopping on the people that are doing the work. And they're not the ones that are making the decisions. They're just doing what they're told they have to do. They have to deal with it. And somehow it has to work. So I'm not very optimistic. No, probably should get Molly back now.
You're just a barrel of laughs, Terry.
I'm telling you. And I'm in Wilmington now, by the way.
You're a barrel of laughs. They're still playing football. It's still a good quality. You know, Arkansas State upset Kansas State, and Louisiana Lafayette upset Iowa State. There was some big upsets this past
weekend. I'm not real sure I'd call any of these upsets because, again, you don't know what teams are going through to get to the game.
Hey, Arkansas State played without seven players that were out due to COVID. So,
well, and everybody, you practice 3 days, you have to stop 10 days. You practice 5 days, you have to stop for 10 days. I think we did the right thing to cancel the first few, because there's no way we'd have been able to go out there and play on the 12th or the 13th, whatever it was.
Or the 12th. And in hindsight, that probably was the right decision.
There's no reason to – and you know, the teams we wanted to come, South Carolina, that guy, you know, that's what we did. You know, we were doing the right thing. We were getting teams like that coming.
They were coming in Columbia.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
It's next year, 21. And Ray Tanner has said on the record,
they will cancel that one somehow. They will not come. I guarantee. That is amazing. I'll tell you what.
And that was my point about somebody like BYU. If they were looking for games and we had an open date in October, I thought, well, why not go play BYU if he can get us another home game with them? But
you don't care about the coaches. You don't care about it. You just want to
die. They're either going to play Cincinnati. What's the difference? Either don't play at all. If they don't want to play at all, they don't play at all. Either don't play or play. I mean, what's the difference between playing BYU or playing SMU?
That's a conference game. Well, if we're going to play the conference.
Well, then play, but that's not what we're doing. We're playing non-conference games. I mean, we're playing Georgia State the second game of the year.
Oh, is that on the schedule still?
Yes. We're going to Atlanta week two.
As of now.
unless somebody gets sick, we're playing Atlanta. We're playing in Atlanta October
3rd. Now, that's happened to some of the high schools that had already started back playing. That's happening to them where they'll play 1 week. Then the next week on Thursday, they have to call the opposing team and tell them, sorry, but we've got 28 kids in quarantine.
It happened to Charlotte and UNC today. Charlotte has their whole O-line got quarantined because of contact tracing.
Absolutely. Right.
Cancel the game with UNC.
Right. Coach, where my nephew coaches, their offensive coordinator tested positive a week before their first game is finally going to be this coming weekend, and he tested positive last Thursday. Yeah. So, you know, what about the rest of the coaches? Are they to be quarantined too? So
they were in close contact. Contact tracing, probably.
So it's not all schools have started back down there at the public schools or private schools. It's all just a hodgepodge of buffets.
There's been, I believe, three to five games in college football canceled for this weekend that are going to have to be rescheduled. I don't imagine UNC and Charlotte will reschedule that one because you can get by without playing that one. But a lot of these
games. What's going to be the bar? How many games do you have to play to be considered legitimate season?
It seems eight to be the rule of thumb. That's what I don't know where that's coming from, but everybody seems to want to at least play eight. I guess because eight is a conference schedule, eight seems to be the number.
Wow,
I would say double. I would say 10.
It'll be hard to get a 10 game.
Don't tell the Big Ten that, Dave. The Big Ten's playing eight, so is BYU. BYU's playing eight. Temple's playing eight. Well,
I guess it's more of a chance.
I think Rice is playing eight. We're playing nine, potentially 10, if we can find a date to reschedule Marshall.
The first week in December, we're going to play that game.
But
I feel confident we're going to play that game. Mike Hamrick and John Gilbert know the importance. They both want to play that game. I think that if it was not going to be played, I think they would have already said it's not going to be played. I really do. I think that unless there's some major catastrophe, who knows the world we live in now, I think they're going to play that game. I really do.
We'll see. It's a long time between now and December 5th.
I mean, like right now, I'm worried about what we're going to do in the next hour.
I can't even think.
That's the world we live in now.
But Terry is 100% against playing. And,
I'm looking at it from the viewpoint of the guy, people that are having to, be at the bottom of the.
Houston said he wants to play. So.
Well, sure, they're going to say that. What are they going to say? No, we just love to cancel the whole thing. No, they ain't going to say that. But at the same time, he's very, he's good at talking around the subject, too, just like all of them. So, you know,
that's the whole deal. If
we just had some kind of, we still don't know what's going. We don't know what's going on. There's still so much uncertainty about everything. So, how do you? I don't know. I mean, it's all okay until something serious. You know, athlete dies or, coach dies or something like that, and you hate for it to get to that. Why does it have to get to that?
But And
you don't know what you're preventing when you prevent something.
One thing I will say about that, though, is that when an athlete dies on the field or a coach dies on the field, we can't, how do we know that that coach is going to die or the player is going to die on the field? We don't know that pre-COVID. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, we have.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. There's so much, there's just no.
I think what Dave's trying to say is that could happen pre-COVID. Somebody could have a heart attack.
Sure. But there's that level of, there's still that no one taking responsibility at the top so that they're held accountable.
Bottom line is quit kicking the can around. Let's talk about what it is. It's all about money. And when you're when your football program is funding a bunch of Olympic sports, you got to play the game. When you can still make more revenue with no fans by getting your TV contract money to fund your other sports than you can by just not playing, you can make more money from your TV contract. Even in East Carolina,
that's what we're doing.
Then you can by not playing the games.
That's
the problem right there. College football has become too much about money.
You got the NCAA, then you got the FBS.
Yeah.
The problem we have in college football is the very fact of what we talk about all the time on here. We have Power Five versus Group of Five, which is so silly, it's so stupid, it's so elitist on the part of the Autonomy Five or whatever they want to say.
It's not versus. It's we're below them. There's no versus. We're the bottom feeders. We can't play for a championship.
They think that's right. And sad thing is
FCS can
And the sad thing is East Carolina does have a program in normal years that can compete for conference championships and potentially a national championship. But until I know Kyle said it, other people, we're gonna have to sue them to do the right thing. That's what we're gonna have to do.
Yeah, but all that does is drag on.
Well, I mean, that's why I will have more respect for college football when they have a real championship and not a made for TV event. Have you noticed?
It's a resume. I never heard. If growing up, they'd have told me that, East Carolina's resume is just not real good. You ought not go to school there.
You look at it right now.
What kind of resume? I thought it was win losses.
If East Carolina won 50 games in a row, they still wouldn't put us in the national championship.
It's called somebody's determining good win, bad win, good loss, bad loss. It don't make sense to me that you can play like that. And people say, well, the eye test. I'd have never got a chance to play football if it had been for the eye test. Jeez.
But don't you see that? Look at the since 2014, the playoff, it is better. But since 2014, there's not anybody that you can honestly say that's not a quote unquote brand name team. It has to be Ohio State. It would have to be Penn State. It has to be Notre Dame. It has to be, you know, Alabama, Clemson. I mean, it has to be those teams. And if you're not one of those brand Michigan, I mean, those kind of teams, if you don't have one of those teams, that brand name, as Coach Logan used to talk about, then you don't stand a chance. And it's not right, because there's a lot of programs like our conference rival in UCF that they deserve to be in the mix. They deserve to be in the Final Four, or even if we had a real playoff, like a Final Eight even. And they were not given the opportunity. Winning 25, I mean, that's the thing that really hurts. 25 straight, and you can't get a seat at the table. You win 25 straight. Has Alabama won 25 straight? Has Clemson won 25 straight? I mean, they have losses in there too. So, and I know that everybody could say, well, they're not, but Clemson was not playing the schedule that even the American was last year. So they have they're improved this year in the ACC. But still, the American, there's still teams in the American that can beat teams in the ACC every single day. They line them up, and I'm telling you, I think our conference is the best. I really do.
Well, it's not that way right now. So,
oh, I know it's not that way, but the thing is that college football, if they ever got used a brain, they would figure out that pro football is number one. And if they ever got a real playoff, they could be the number one sport in the country. And so if you really care about your sport, as you say you do, then do the right thing and get a real playoff for the fans. It's true. College football is number two every single year in America, and they could be number one. But they don't have enough sense, and they're not smart enough to figure that out. It's true. Look it up.
Rob is just here in proxy. Is he not really here?
He was eating. And I think he's still having like a Italian meal, like a 12-course meal or something.
Okay, I don't know. I would sit this one out too.
I'm telling you. Unbelievable.
Bubba, you there?
I am.
Bubba. Bubba, there you go. Hey, oh, Logan, how you doing, man? Have you been listening to this conversation?
Some of it. I've been listening about the last 10 minutes.
I think when I called BYU a bunch of Mormon peckernecks, Mully decided to bail.
I did not. I did not catch that.
No, he didn't.
I will be sure to get that cut up, though, and send it to Garrett McClintock. He's made his last appearance on the show.
And to be clear, nothing against the fine Mormon faith or the Mormon people. I am not biased towards Mormon people. I was just talking trash because Mully was acting like he was scared to play BYU. And I was saying, I ain't scared him. I'll play him now. Nothing against the Mormon people. That is not you're talking about the Jewish people. It's anti-Semitic. What is anti-Mormon? I'm not anti-Mormon.
Just anti-Mormon.
Mormon people. In fact, I'm all in favor of having more than one wife.
Yeah.
But hey, let's not go down that spectrum. That's a whole different show. but seriously, the fact, if you look at East Carolina
right now, Tom McClellan going, that's that Kyle that Ryan Robinson mentioned.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, Terry. So, but being in North Carolina now, do you feel closer to the program now that you're 2 hours away versus several hours away in a sunny day in central Georgia?
Yeah, I would if we could actually visit and see people and do things. But so far, no, it's still hectic here going back and forth. We've still got a couple things we're doing to finish up getting the house sold in Georgia. And
the devil will deal some cards.
Then we got to deal with in-laws. And I had to do that. I spent that today doing that.
You know the difference between in-laws and outlaws?
I'm married to the
outlaws are wanted.
There you go.
Yeah.
But anyway, I spent 4 hours driving in rain today. So,
Terry, how old are you? I mean, you're an old dude, man. How old are you? I mean, your in-laws would have to be 100. How old are they?
The 80s.
You're just about right. 90s, early 90s.
Okay. All right. Yeah, by the way, your house in Wilmington, I don't know. You made a lot of money teaching.
No, I married well.
You married well. Okay. I did. I did that too.
But, yes, indeed. It's not about good looking, but it's partly good.
Hey, what are you saying, Terry?
I think his mic cut out at the right time. I'm not sure. He's in gold. I don't know.
Terry,
Terry,
what about your internet? He's like, he's in deep thought. We'll let him. Bubba, you there? Yeah, we got Bubba. Okay.
Bubba, delete the show as soon as it's over, okay?
Will do.
Oh, man, this is great. Terry, maybe we should get Terry back here in a second. Oh, my gosh. You know, it's nothing like live streaming. That's the thing that that makes
everybody really in a bad mood tonight. I can't Mully seemed like he was in a bad mood. Terry's in a bad mood. Everybody's in a bad mood.
Yeah, I didn't catch any of that conversation with Mully, so I'm gonna have to go back and check it out.
Is he mad with us? He left, and we hadn't heard more from him. So
I don't know. He's probably mad at me. Par for the course.
It's all good. It's all good. You know, with the did you get a chance to hear any of the interview we had? By the way, I want to plug that. Great job, Bubba did 1-on-1 today. With assistant basketball coach Antoine Jackson. That was awesome. And we also have the basketball. We have that with a basketball interview. Then we also had Coach Houston. We have that with his press conference today. Looking forward to, guys, it's hard to believe we're a week away virtually from.
Hopefully. Season. Hopefully.
Well, you know, I was telling Bubba, I'm not going to jinx it. I'm not going to say that it's not going to happen. We'll say it's going to happen. Let's keep it.
I don't know, man. You saying it's going to happen to me is jinxing it. Quit saying it's going to happen. We'll just wait and see. We'll wait and see.
It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen.
We'll wait and see.
Kyle, I know a minute ago you were talking about BYU and how they're playing 8 games now. So did you guys talk about them adding La Tech?
No, they added Louisiana Tech to make up for the Army game they lost. So that puts them back at 8. And I think they were actually shooting for 10, Bubba. So that La Tech game, I would imagine they were hoping that was going to be number 9, but it ended up replacing Army. So it's number 8. I don't know if they'll get to 10. But I would like to see them play North Dakota State. North Dakota State's got 1 game on the schedule against Central Arkansas, and they want to play 3 more. So I challenge the Cougs to go play North Dakota State.
Hey, we can do that too.
No, let's not. Let's not play North Dakota State. Let's play BYU. I don't want to play North Dakota State. No. But I want BYU to.
Hey, why not? Hey, right now, get some games. And certainly, I know the flight would cost a lot. That's
I don't see any benefit to us playing North Dakota State. I do, however, think that North Dakota State at BYU would get a pretty good TV rating.
Maybe. Yeah. I'm excited. Hey, Bubba,
you would watch it, Bubba. Yeah.
That'd be a good question. Hey, guys, before we go, I know that there's a big show we have on Saturday morning. Very excited about that, looking inside college football, right, Bubba?
Yep. Just one moment. I was getting to the schedule for okay.
And I promise I won't call anyone.
Say that again, Kyle.
I promise not to call anyone a pecker next Saturday morning.
Thank you. Yes. Be on your best behavior. We'll kick things off with the Inside Slant for week 3 of college football, 8:30. And we're still going to have this guy on to talk to him about the situation with the game getting canceled. David Scott of the Charlotte Observer. We're going to be talking to him about Charlotte, North Carolina. 49ers were supposed to play the 12th ranked Tar Heels, but as we said, that is not happening. But we'll still talk to him at 8:30. 8:45, we'll catch up with Jeff Allen of the Nightline Sports Network, talking about UCF and Georgia Tech. And 9, we'll be joined by Ryan Token of the Golden Hurricast before he heads to Stillwater. He has about an hour drive or so to Stillwater from where he lives. And so we'll get his thoughts on the Golden Hurricane and the Cowboys. I think Oklahoma State's, they're 11th, I believe, something like that. Then at 9:15, Keith Morehouse of WSAZ in Huntington will join us to talk about number 24 App State and Marshall. And then around 9:30, Kyle, we will have our picks. We'll pick those 10 games that you and I settled on. And then Rob McClam of Inside Pac Sports will join us at 9:45 to talk about NC State and Wake Forest. And then rounding things out at 10 a.m., we will catch up with Sam Raz. He has an early morning. He'll be getting up 6:45, and he was planning on getting up early anyway, as Houston has that noon kickoff, or I guess maybe 11 central kickoff against Baylor. But Sam Raz of the Scott and Holman podcast will join us to talk about the Bears and the Cougs.
That'd be a good one. Baylor, Houston. I'm kind of torn in that game. Baylor was a really good team last year, but they lost Matt Rhule. Got a brand new coach and staff going to be running that Larry Fedora offense. Houston, year number two for Dana Holgorsen. Initially, I was going to say Baylor big, but you know, the more I think about it, I'm not sure that I'll go with Houston in the upset. But I'm having second thoughts on that one.
Yeah, that one you could argue both ways. It all depends on, I guess, the how much better will Houston be year two, right? I mean, under Holgorsen, last year was not the year what they wanted.
Well, new quarterback, you know,
new coach.
How much from year one to year two, and then but a whole new staff at Baylor. So they yep. were, like I said, they were a top 10 or top 5 football team last year, and but a new staff this year.
All right. Well, let's. I want to thank Mike Mullis, a 5-star virtual. Appreciate him very much. Terry Gallagher, I guess we lost both the guests.
I'm just running people off left and right, baby.
Take a shower, Kyle. I'm kidding. Come on.
I didn't get the joke.
That you smell bad. So
I don't think they can smell me through here. Anyway. All right.
You don't know.
Frogs aren't funny if you have to explain them.
What a show. What a great... All right.
Delete it, anyway, Bubba. Just delete
let's
it.
Let's have fun.
Just, like it never even happened.
No, really.
Delete it.
All right. You're like a hurricane. We were doing good. You're the hurricane that
delete,
came in.
Delete, right. delete.
Hurricane Kyle came in. All right. The unofficial podcast of the Pirates with a sports objective. Thanks, everybody, for joining us tonight.
I apologize, we'll see you later. Everyone.
All right. Have a good night, everybody. Go Pirates.
All right.